this morning. Appreciate you being here this Sunday night. I know some have not, we're not here this morning. We'll do our best to transition into where we are tonight. But we're going to read Psalm 23. If you would read along here this evening, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, we want to thank you for letting us have service this evening, giving us the liberty here in the country that we live in. We're so blessed to be able to freely meet together, to be able to have your word in our hands tonight, to be able to open it up, to be able to sing with the saints. We're blessed beyond what we, Lord, really consider at times. And we just want to thank you for that. Ask for your blessings upon the time we spend looking at this portion of scripture tonight, that you would grant us the help we need to communicate it the right way, to be able to listen to it the right way. And I pray that you would be so kind to use a vessel that's very unworthy. I pray that you just help me to be a blessing and a help to all in attendance tonight as we speak forth your word. And we ask you in Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've been going through this chapter, Psalm 23, for quite some time here as a church. And it has been our custom to go through it on Sunday morning. Sometimes there are some things that we covered Sunday morning that we didn't finish, and there seems to be a good bit left. And sometimes we go ahead and pick it up on Sunday evening. So that is what we're doing tonight. And what we're looking at is verse 5. Most particularly, we're looking at a portion there in verse 5 with respect to thou anointest my head with oil. As we look at Psalm 23, as we mentioned this morning, opens up with the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David speaks of the Lord being his personal shepherd. Goes on to say, because he is my shepherd, I'll not want for another shepherd. And really, I think we find there he also infers and is saying that because he is my shepherd, every need of my life will be met by the Lord. And then he goes on, beginning at verse 2 on down, to speak of those needs that are met, all the needs of his life. And we understand that when we think of needs, so often what we think are our needs are not necessarily all the needs that we need for life. What I mean is, we don't necessarily have to have a four-bedroom house and a three-car garage and the nicest of cars and the nicest of clothes. They're good if we can have them, but that's not necessarily a need. But every need of our heart, every need of our life will be met by the Lord. And many of those needs, and more importantly, are the intangible needs that are part of life and part of what we need. And certainly the Lord will take care of those intangible needs as well. I think the scripture bears witness with that. So as you go on down there, verse 2 and verse 3 and verse 4 talk about the needs, and David looks at the life of a shepherd to the sheep and all the needs and all that care that sheep have, likens himself unto a sheep of the Lord, and the Lord takes care of me. When we get to verse 5, he says there, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. David says, you meet that need that I have, and that need has to do, we took some time to look at that, to contrast that with the need that the sheep had and how the shepherd takes care of that need in the high mountain range there, and how the Lord prepares a place for us to where we can meet and get the nourishment that we need for our soul and the nourishment that we need to keep ourselves spiritually fed and healthy. And this morning, as I said, we began looking at the second part there. And I think, if time permitting, that we'll try to finish up this verse tonight. But thou anointest my head with oil. Again, as I said this morning, we don't always have a title for each message. Most of the time, we're not I'm not accustomed to doing that here, but I do think a title for this particular portion is the essential oil that everyone needs. The essential oil that everyone needs. And I think it's found right here in our verse 5 there. Thou anointest my head with oil. And as we take a look at this tonight, I think we'll continue to see that this is the oil that each and every individual needs. Believer and unbeliever need this. Unbelievers are not going to get it because they don't know the Lord as their shepherd. But as his sheep, we should be able to realize this is the oil. This is the oil that we need. This is the essential oil that we need for our life. And it says there, thou anointest my head with oil. We won't be able to go through everything that we covered this morning, but just a few things to get us to where we want to get to tonight. But we took some time this morning to look at how a shepherd must from time to time anoint the sheep with oil. There's a time throughout the year, and it's called the summertime, and it's called fly time. And during summertime, there's all kinds of parasites that seek to disturb and disrupt the comfort and relaxation and contentment of the sheep. The one that we focused on this morning had to do with the nasal flies, these little flies that buzz around the sheep, and they seek to get up in the head of these sheep and just reside there and actually even multiply there and park out there and camp out there and make the life of the sheep absolutely miserable. And we talked about that this morning, all the behavioral traits that come forth from those sheep in time of these flies getting up in their nasal passage there. We looked at how at the very first sign of these flies among the sheep, it was important that the shepherd give immediate attention and apply an antidote to the head of these sheep. And so first of all, that's what we look at. Thou anointest my head with oil. David's saying, you do that for me. But he's saying what he did for the sheep as a shepherd was he took time to anoint those sheep with oil. We mentioned how one of the shepherds stated how he preferred to use a homemade remedy composed of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar. And he would smear that homemade remedy over the sheep's nose and over the sheep's head for protection against these flies. And I bring up that homemade remedy because it's going to come out a little bit later on this evening when we talk about the oil that we need. But when this was done, this homemade remedy was applied, what this shepherd found was just an incredible transformation would take place among the sheep. Gone was the aggravation, the frenzy, the irritability, and the restlessness, and the sheep were now able to feed quietly once again and lie down peacefully and contented. Now, as this is something the shepherd did for the sheep, what we find is David saying this is something the Lord does for him, that the Lord anoints his head with oil. So there are things, I think, that certainly happened to the sheep there that David is saying likewise happens to him, that from time to time, if you will, there's these little flies that come around me and they lodge up in my head, they lodge up in my mind and they mess me all up. My mind gets disturbed, it gets distracted, it gets distorted, it gets distressed. My thinker gets all messed up. And David says, thou anointest my head with oil. You provide the antidote that I need to help me with a troubled mind. Sometimes it's even the littlest thing that gets lodged up in there, and before you know it, the littlest thing is no longer a little thing. It becomes a big thing and really messes us up and irritates us. David says again in verse 5, thou anointest my head with oil. First thing we looked at this morning was one of the remedies, one of the antidotes, is that there to take care of these flies, if you will, that seek to get up in our head and mess us all up, was keeping our mind on the Lord. And turn to Isaiah 26. We'll look at that one more time. Isaiah 26. There's all kinds of things today, and we talked about that this morning, that are seeking to distract us, confuse us, to get up in our mind and mess us all up. And we need some help with that. We need some help with that because there's a lot of mind games going on in many, many different ways. Isaiah 26, beginning at verse 3, we looked at that. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Can't get better peace than that in this life than perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Who's what? Whose mind is stayed on thee. You can't improve upon that. And what the world is doing this evening is seeking to get your mind elsewhere. It is seeking so that you spend very little time staying your mind on Him, keeping your mind on Him. And so much of our day-to-day activity robs us and keeps us from giving any thought to the Lord. And we find there again in verse 3 that perfect peace is found when we keep our mind on Him. There's a lot of trouble in our land today, and we understand that most of that is because people don't know the Lord as their Savior. Most of that is because they don't know the Word of God in any way. But there's a lot of trouble even amongst believers tonight. A lot of trouble across the umbrella of Christianity tonight. And so much of that trouble is a result of so little time spent on thinking about the Lord and keeping our mind there. Even this very moment, your mind is wandering. Your mind has wandered even as we sang the hymns. I know mine sought to do that, but I knew all I had to do is get it stayed on the Lord, get it back to the Lord. And when I keep my mind stayed on the Lord, I have peace. There is an endeavor from the world and from the devil to rob you of peace. And again, to get you to be focusing elsewhere. Most of the time when them thoughts come your way, what they're doing is they're seeking to disturb you and seeking to rob you of peace. And so you got to get your mind back on the Lord. I believe emphatically this evening that if you'll keep your mind on the Lord, you'll find perfect peace. And obviously because the Bible tells us that. That's where it needs to be. We spent considerable time looking at that. But applying the truth of Isaiah chapter 26, applying the truth of what is stated there, by faith, applying that truth daily to our lives and staying in close contact with the Lord will be the antidote for what gets up in our mind from day to day and seeks to trouble us and play mind games with us. So we need to make the application of Isaiah 26 verse 3 there and apply that oil, that contact, that relationship with the Lord. Now, when you think of David there in Psalm 23, he says, thou anointest my head with oil. And I think that is certainly one of he's saying, you do that for me. Now, I say David sought to think about the Lord and dwell upon the Lord. And we know that the book of Psalms gives us many writings of how David continually thought about the Lord. But I would submit to you tonight that for us, David could not experience the thoughts that we can experience tonight. David could not dwell and think about the cross as we can tonight. You know that? So David thinks about the Lord, and certainly everything that he needs is available for him. But if you will, hopefully you can see that for us tonight, it even goes to another level because we have the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that David did not see. David did not see the cross. We see it as all, we see it already. It is finished. It is done. And we see the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. David didn't see any of that. And if we'll keep our mind on Jesus Christ, it will have that perfect peace. And I would submit to you that Jesus Christ is the essential oil that everyone needs. And I'd say you can't commit yourself and give yourself enough to it. And too many times we focus in other areas and we try other means and other resources to try to help us with the troubles that we go through, or the troubles of our mind. And you can't improve upon the oil of reflecting upon the Lord and allowing that to be placed upon your head. Any attempt by the sheep to solve it on their own without the touch of the shepherd would lead to utter failure. They couldn't do it. We looked at that this morning. They would try everything. They would butt their heads up against the wall, if you will. They would try everything they could to get that out of their head, and they couldn't do it. It took the touch of the shepherd placed upon them and that oil being rubbed upon them. Any other attempt to try another way would fail miserably. And so too is it tonight. So too is it today that any other attempt to try to fix the trouble that comes across your mind, the things that lodge in there and just disturb you or make you think a different way, could be think corruptly. It could be just thinking of something, concocting something, making something that isn't there. Just all these different thoughts, this and this and this and that. The only way to get that thing fixed is put your mind on the Lord. He'll take care of that. This evening, what I want us to see is that there's another part of the oil treatment, if you will. Another part of the oil treatment, I think, is being filled with the Spirit, with the Spirit of God. Now, often you find in churches today that they say the oil is the Spirit of God. I'm not convinced of that, but I do believe in looking at Psalm 23, let's go back there tonight, in considering that for us today, when David says, "Thou anointest my head with oil, God, you do that for me." And I believe he does that for us to this very day. And I think another part of that oil treatment, if you will, another part of that process is being filled with the Spirit of God. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Look with me, please, at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, and we'll read verse 19 as well. The Bible says there, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." As one of God's sheep, we need to allow the Spirit of God to fill us and allow the antidote of this oil flow into our lives, if you will. This filling of the Spirit of God. That filling of the Spirit of God will certainly be the antidote for your mind. For your mind, for all that troubles your mind, all that goes through your mind, and all that eventually comes out of your mind, the filling of the Spirit of God will be the antidote that God's sheep need. Now turn, you got Galatians, you turn to the right there to Colossians, you got Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3, please. What a change this will make. What a change this will make in our behavior and the effect that it will have on us in the mind games that come our way. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, we're told there that let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And we can't go in depth into this, but the reason why I went there, because the way that we get filled with the Spirit of God is to let the word of God dwell in us richly. It means let the word of God dwell in us abundantly. Richly is having an abundance of something. And there in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And you see there teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So as I look at Ephesians 5 and look at Colossians chapter 3, I see the way that the sheep of God are filled with the Spirit of God is going to be by the word of God. That's the only way. That's the only way it can be done. So if you will, this is the pure oil, and this is the essential oil that we need to cover ourselves in, to protect our mind. And as we get that up here and we cover ourselves in that, it'll keep those flies away. It'll keep those things away that seek to disturb our mind. John chapter 16 and verse 13, you don't need to turn there, but it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. Now you need to let him guide you into all truth. A lot that gets lodged up in our mind is not true. A lot that we think, and we're thinking about something, we're thinking about this and that, and it's running through our mind, the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. Truth, he'll guide you there. There's no need to let your mind get all crazy and distracted and confused when the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. The Spirit of God feeds off of the Word of God and then goes on to permeate his influence in every area of our lives, most particularly this evening, every area of our mind. And it's the Word of God that gives him something to work with. It is the Word of God that transforms our mind and helps us to see things as we ought to, the Word of God. Look with me, please, at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The Word of God is what transforms our mind, helps us to see things as we ought to. Oh, how sad it is this evening that believers don't see things as they ought to, as they ought to. And you're not going to see things as you ought to. We talked again this morning about these sheep, and when they get those things up in their mind, it ends up, if it stays there, it'll end up many, many times causing blindness. And if you don't get the Word of God up in your mind, you're going to not be able to see as you ought to. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. I'll tell you what, you'll see a lot of things that aren't real. Your mind will do what? It'll play tricks on you. It'll play tricks on you, cause you to see something that's not real, cause you to think something is not real. You're not seeing it clearly. And I just look at verse 2 of Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Obviously, the only way to not be conformed to the world is to have your mind renewed. The Bible says there would be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our minds need to be renewed. Renewed. How do we renew them? By the Word of God. So when we as God's sheep feed ourselves off the Word of God goes in you, And the Spirit of God now has truth with which to give you the direction and the guidance that you need for your life. If you will, it clears things all up. It clears all up. He is the counselor, the Holy Spirit of God. He, if you're saved here tonight, He dwells within you and He can counsel you. He can clear that matter up. That's why we need to be filled with the Spirit of God and be filled with the Word of God, because the Word of God is that oil that we need to clear it all up. So many of our problems, most particularly focusing tonight from the mind, are the way they are because there's no pure oil inside of us to clear and to counsel us, to clear our minds up. Amen. It's when we are filled with the Spirit of God that the attributes of the Spirit of God will now work in our life as it should. Again, if we're be honest with ourselves this evening, if these things are lacking in your life as a believer, you understand why you would react perhaps the way you react, or why you saw things the way you saw things, because the Word of God is not operating in your life, so it's not able to react. The Holy Spirit of God is not able to work that out of you to be able to react and respond to situations as we ought to. Look with me, please, at Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. If we have the filling of the Spirit of God, there are things, if you will, that would be the oil that should shine forth from our life. The oil that should shine forth. It's these attributes right here that are presented to us in Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, if you're saved here this evening, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, these are supposed to be a part of your life. This actually here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, this should be evidence in your life. Back prior to Galatians 5, 22, there's what's called the works of the flesh, and those are things that are part of our lives prior to salvation. But after being saved, the fruit of the Spirit that is supposed to be part of our life, these things are now supposed to be evident in our life. Sometimes they're not as evident as they should be, but they certainly need to be and ought to have been. If you profess the name of Christ, these things should have certainly have been part of your life. Others should certainly have been able to see these one time or another in your life. If you profess the name of Christ and you still hate and you're still miserable and you're still rotten and you're still short-tempered and you ain't got an ounce of gentleness and goodness in your life, something's drastically wrong, okay? So these things should be part of you. But this, the point I want to try to make here this evening is that if you're filled with the Spirit of God, this filling will have a tremendous effect on the behavior of the sheep. So these attributes of the Spirit of God, this fruit of the Spirit, love will be manifested in my life. There'll be joy in my life, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All these things will be a part of me. That's going to help our mind. That's going to help us to deal with things and not allow things. It's going to help keep those things out because we're filled with the Spirit of God and we will be filled with these things. What do these things do? They're going to affect our behavior, the behavior of the sheep. As we talked this morning about that oil being applied to those sheep and what a tremendous difference it made, how it brought rest and peace and contentment in those sheep. David says there, let's go back to Psalm 23. What are we looking at? Thou anointest my head with oil. God, you do that for me. Just like I see how it works on those sheep. Lord, you do the same thing for me. For us, if we get this oil that comes from having our mind stayed on Christ, by allowing the Spirit of God to fill us up through the Word of God, what is it? What will it do? What will that oil do? It will transform our behavior. It will transform our disposition and our deportment. It'll affect our countenance more than any other oil known to man. Is this essential oil that comes through keeping our mind on Christ and comes through the Word of God being poured over our lives? Like oil, it'll put a shine on our face. Like oil, it'll have the ability to change our countenance from mourning to joy and gladness. I haven't done a good scan of the congregation tonight, but sometimes when you look out at a congregation, it seems like there's a mourning going on. This church is not supposed to be a funeral service. Amen. But it is sad that sometimes people attend church and they seem to be very sad. I know sometimes believers, they got things going on in their life, and I realize that you can't muster it up. You can't walk into church and necessarily get that out. I understand that. But what I'm trying to say, though, is that sometimes people just, for no particular reason, they have mourning. As a whole, I said it this morning. I'm sorry for being repetitive, but I don't think the world knows anything about true joy and true happiness and peace outside of Jesus Christ. I think it's a moment of glee, and then give them a moment by themselves, and they lose it. They live, to me, in a perpetual state of mourning, for the most part. But I'm saying this oil that God covers us with, as David is talking about, and David expressed that over and over again in the book of Psalms, but it'll have an effect on your countenance. And it'll change that oil in the Bible would change, it would go from mourning, and that oil would have an effect on their countenance to turn their mourning into joy and gladness. That oil in the Bible had an effect on the whole room. And it had an effect on all that were around. What I'm saying is, if this oil, if we'll allow this oil to cover us, it'll affect us completely. It'll affect all that are around us, this oil. But you understand that if you allow your mind to let those flies get in and to mess you up, you can understand how it affects your behavior and how you again conduct yourself around each other and around others. But if you have that oil that comes from the Lord, that oil that comes from the Word of God, it'll affect everybody around you as the oil in the Word of God, as that fragrance would affect. When you would smell that oil, it would affect your countenance. And I'm saying the oil that comes from Jesus Christ and the oil that comes from the Word of God has a way of affecting our countenance. If you don't spend time with Christ and you don't spend time in the Word of God, your countenance is not going to shine too good. And it's going to have an adverse effect on those around you instead of the right kind of effect. Oil had a way of making a place smell better. Amen. And we, as God's sheep, need to get that oil on us, and what a difference it'll make everybody who comes in contact with us. But those sheep, when they got them flies up in their mind, it would just affect the whole flock, because they got something up in their mind. That's the same thing that happens today with the flock of God. It can affect the whole flock. Psalm 23, thou anointest my head with oil. Let me say this. This oil needs to be regularly, routinely and continually. The way it was with these sheep, those flies, those things would come around in the summertime and they'd lodge in there, but you couldn't just put it on for one day. You couldn't just make one application. It was something that had to be done continually and continually for those parasites to be kept away. There was no other way. It wasn't something that you put on at the beginning of the season, if you will, and it lasted throughout the whole season. It wasn't like that. It had to be continual. Just one time would not do. And that leads me back to the table this evening in verse 5. That leads me back to the table. If you weren't here, we talked about that table and how the shepherd would have a place where he could take those sheep. And again, they could get that nourishment that they needed. David says, "Thou, you do that for me, Lord. You prepare a place for me." When we took time to look at that, I believe that place was a place where David could go worship. It was the house of God, a place where the glory and honor of God dwelt. And so there was that place where one of God's sheep, one of God's people could go to, again, and get that nourishment, that need, that spiritual strength that they needed, the health that they needed. And when I look at this evening here in verse 5, "Thou anointest my head with oil," and the continual need of that oil takes me back to the table. Because that's the place, if you will, that the shepherd has prepared where we can continually, routinely, and regularly get what we need. Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." I believe that's going back to the local church. The local church is a place where we can routinely and regularly and continually get the oil that we need week after week after week to help us. I'll tell you what, you can call it week, you can call it whatever you want, but we need church. And I'll just tell you, for me personally, there's no doubt I need church. I don't know how Christians do it. I don't know how people think that they can stay away from church and not be any big deal. It is a big deal. It's a big deal. You get away for a little bit. This mass communication that's causing us to have a mass mind, a mind full of everything that's out there. And as one of God's sheep, you think you can stay away from the house of God and you're going to be okay? You're not going to be okay. There's simply no way. Just a little bit of time, and I try to keep, some of you try to do the same thing, keep your nose in the Word of God. You try to commune with the Lord. You try to put the right things in your life. I made a trip up to Philadelphia just the last few days, drove up there Thursday, was up there a few days, came back Saturday. I couldn't wait to get to church. There's just so much that's out there, so much that's going on. I can't imagine missing church. How it would affect me, how it would corrupt me, how it would just lead me in the wrong direction. We need church. Again, I don't know how anyone who claims to be one of God's sheep doesn't realize that. Doesn't realize the utter importance of the local church. And that's why Christianity is in the state that it's in. Because they can take it or leave it. I can't do that. We can't do that. You know, if you're just gone for a couple days, you say, "Wow, you people are so weak." No, you don't realize how weak you are because you don't. Because you're not faithful. Realizing you're weak is a good step. Yeah. Because we're bombarded by everything that's going on outside these doors. And we've got to get to a place where we can get some help to fix our mind and help our mind to think as it ought to think for the Lord. Let me say to you tonight, I believe that local church is the homemade remedy. The homemade remedy that our shepherd has for us. And has an amazing ability to affect our minds. I submit to you tonight that there's a homemade remedy in Florida, and there's a homemade remedy in Tennessee, and there's homemade remedies in Michigan and Pennsylvania, and there's a homemade remedy right here in Virginia Beach. There's homemade remedy right here that God has for the flock that resides in this geographical location that is different than perhaps it would be for the flock that is residing in a place in Florida and Michigan and Pennsylvania and Tennessee. There is some similarities, but there is an oil, if you will, that is made from that local church that God has for those people in that place. I believe that with all my heart. I would say to you tonight that if you have to watch service online, if you have to watch service online, we have that resource available to us today, and it can be a help to us, but it is not the way that God would have you to continue. You're not to continue with an electronic church. God has a local place for you. And let me say to you, just these things we have to deal with today that we didn't have to deal with years ago. But you need to do everything in your power to get to that place. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. God doesn't want us to live in a virtual world. He wants us to assemble ourselves together with those saints. You need to do everything. Don't change because you have electronics now. Don't change because you have that resource now. And you'd be like, well, I can just watch so-and-so in Florida. I can just watch so-and-so in Pennsylvania or Michigan or Tennessee. You're taking the wrong direction. You need to give every effort you got to get that homemade remedy that God has for you in that local church that God has you in. If for some reason, now I think it's good for those who are shut in and those who can't make it. Those are situations for some reason or another they couldn't, but here's the thing. The effort we used to put in 20 years ago has changed because now we say, I can just dial in on YouTube. I'm just telling you, that's not what God wants. God wants you to put every effort into being with that local flock of people. And there's a homemade remedy that God has for this place. It's interesting, we were talking a few minutes before we came in here, and someone was talking about how the song that we sang this morning, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, they were thinking about for the last 3 days, but they couldn't remember all the words to it. All they could do was remember the bottom part there? The chorus. It's all they could remember. So they come to church today. It's unbelievable. That song is what's chosen. That happens a lot of times. And you know as well as I do, if you spend in church any time, there's something here that's amazing how it comes out that you need, because God's aware of this flock. The shepherd is aware of this flock. It's a homemade remedy. What God has here in this place is his homemade remedy for his sheep. He has something for these sheep personally. Can you get some help somewhere else? Yes, you can. But God has something for you right here. David said there in Psalm 23, I get the same way that these sheep get. And Lord, you do for me what I seek to do for them. You anoint my head with oil. I think David's saying, Lord, you clear it all up. You clear it up. You, if you will, you allow me to sit at the table and then get up from the table, clothed and in my right mind. I want to turn to one last verse. We're not going to get to the end tonight. Ecclesiastes. I thought this was interesting. I'll give you a precursor. I'm not 100% sure of the definite context of what Solomon the writer is saying here, but I find it very interesting. And if we get to the book of Ecclesiastes, we'll perhaps cover this obviously in more detail. But I find Ecclesiastes chapter 9 something interesting that is said here in verse 8 that I couldn't help but bring it up this evening. Ecclesiastes 9 in verse 8, let thy garments be always white. And I think the application there, the implication is talking about purity, our life, if you will, everything about us is pure. But notice what it says there at the end, and let thy head lack no ointment. And let thy head lack no ointment. And I would say that to you this evening as we finish up this portion in Psalm 23. We need the oil of the Lord, of the shepherd. We need his contact, we need his touch, and we need his oil that comes through spending time with him, thinking on him, and spending time in the Word of God. And we need that oil. And as verse 8 says there, let it lack nothing. Don't let it lack that ointment. Let's go ahead and stand tonight. Need that ointment. That's the essential oil that we need. Them sheep couldn't get it. There's nothing else that could help them get freed from those parasites except for the oil. And the same thing holds true for us as God's sheep this evening. Nothing else will work but the Lord and the Word of God. Amen. Father, thank you for church this Sunday night. Thank you for giving us time to open up your holy word. Thank you for letting us meet together. Once again, we praise you and thank you for that. And I pray that the time is not, I don't think it's ever in vain, but I do pray that the people here this evening have gotten some help, something has spoken to them, and they give some thought, some consideration to it, and allow this truth this evening to affect them and impact their hearts and impact their minds, and we could leave here challenged and provoked unto good works. We ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Good to see y'all this Sunday night.